It is hour number three of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. We pick out the stems and seeds at 2:45. UCLA basketball coach Mick Cronin rightly calls out his university for stupid policies on COVID. At 2:30, why does January 19th matter? Birthdays for a couple of musical legends. And in mere minutes, the great Ari Temkin helps us make sense of another disappointing Dallas Cowboys season. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is one of the many disappointed Dallas Cowboys fans. It is Chad Hastings.
Yeah, it's Wednesday. Doesn't seem to be getting any better. Hour number three on the show. Takes a while to process such things. I admitted it earlier in the week. I'm a wallower when it comes to my team losing a big game like that. I will watch too many highlights. I'll go back over stats. I will grind on it. That's me. I don't get away from it. I don't know what it is. If it's the championship, Trey, all I'll do is not watch the other team celebrate. But other than that, I just wallow in it for about a week or more. And that's right where I am right now.
It's fitting that you have that depressed guy beard working right now.
I really do.
Even though you're growing it out for the possibility of the Mohawk bet that you may have to pay off in March.
Oh my God. By the way, real quick before we talk to Ari, you can see this from where you are. The people on Twitch can probably see it too. I've told you that I can't grow the thing in the middle. What is happening with my face? Look at this. It's not there. I don't know if it's light hair in the middle. There's supposed to be stuff there.
I see hair.
You do?
Yeah.
Tom Selleck has hair all the way across.
It does look a little reverse Hitler, though.
Exactly. I've got the stuff connecting. It's going down and even helping out to make the little whatever, you know, what do you call this? The goatee, kind of thing. I've got a little soul patch that looks horrible, but at least it's there. But the middle, right under my nose, it won't really grow in where you can see it.
At least it's reverse Hitler. At least you don't only grow the Hitler stash.
Yeah, thanks. That's great news. That is great news. So I'm only 3 weeks into this thing. Not even halfway done yet of what I have to grow out before this Mohawk, assuming I can't catch Isaiah this week.
Other than the lack of growth in the middle above your upper lip, everything else looks good.
Yeah, I don't know. I hope it's worth it by the end. That's all I know, because it doesn't itch as much, but it is still kind of annoying. So if you haven't checked it out, go to hornfm.com. We put up videos of the beard and growth and hair growth process, and the hair is getting really to a critical element. We've totally gone Caucasian mushroom on top. There's gray on the sides. It looks awful, and it's going to do nothing but get worse over these next few weeks.
Dude, you're being harder on yourself than I normally am with myself.
My God,
the hair looks good right now.
It does not. You're lying to the people. It's not good.
It is going to be Caucasian Mr. T by the time it's all said
and really
done,
is.
Too.
Yeah, it is. All right, so let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline. One more visit with Ari Temkin, unfortunately, because dadgummit, the Cowboys lost. Of course, you heard Ari all season long on the Dallas Cowboys radio network. He's at Ari Sports on Twitter. Ari, that must have been a fun post game.
Yeah, no. I'm with you, Chad. It was tough. It was devastating. I think we had high expectations for this team, and it one of the things that we talked about a lot of the postgame show is just the thud of the end of the football season. You know, where it's just we talk so much about the season before as it approaches, and the entire off season is set up for the regular season, and then you get there, and there's all these games, there's excitement, and so many things to talk about, so many storylines, and then it's like running full speed into a brick wall, and then suddenly it's over, and you're left with this emptiness that can only be filled by the, Senior Bowl and draft combine and draft and free agency and schedule release and training camp and mini camps and all the other elements that go into the offseason.
Yeah, it's all coming. It's just way, way, way down the line. All right, so as far as the specifics, let's just go ahead and start at the end. We've talked plenty with you about play calling moments and game management moments and all those kind of things. So just walk me through it from your perspective as you watched 14 seconds to go and the decisions that were made there between Kellen Moore, Dak Prescott, and obviously Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, and I understand why everybody zeroed in on the quarterback draw call, and I get it. I think there's probably too many things that have to go right for that to work out in terms of timing. But with that being said, I think, you know, it's not as if they guessed on it. You know, I think that they've prepared and had sort of the idea of how long those types of plays would take to execute. Like they're constantly working on end of game scenarios. And so I would imagine that they had some, you know, compelling data that suggested that they could have gotten that play and then one final play off. That's why they ran it the way that they did. But obviously they couldn't because there were just too many elements they couldn't account for. Maybe namely what we saw with the umpire, running in there, but he's got to touch the ball before the ball snapped. So, you know, the Cowboys are trying to line up really quickly, but the umpire has to touch the ball before it snapped. At the end of the day, Chad, the Cowboys had the football with 3 minutes to go, three timeouts, down six. You go win the game there.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like that to me is where the game was lost.
Well, and then there's obviously, you go to the beginning of a game, a lot of times people just want to focus on the end sequence, but man, Ari, the way that game started, thank goodness for the Cowboys defense, otherwise they get blown out in that first half. I mean, I hate to feel good down 9 as a fan, but at 16-7, I'm thinking, all right, well, I'd love to have 16-10, but they couldn't figure out the field goal. But I really thought the defense had saved Dallas to a degree. The fact that that even ended up as a game to me was a little bit of a surprise. I think Jerry kind of echoed those comments. The early part of that game is really disturbing. I know for a lot of our fans, Cowboy fans that text in and call in, it's the start. In the biggest moments, the biggest games, this team just has a tough time a lot of times getting out of the block.
No, I agree completely. And I mean, look, you know, it's funny because I picked the Cowboys to win this game. And, you know, after the game's over, it's like, I'm thinking in my head, like, what was I thinking? Like, this is exactly,
yeah.
Like, there's no surprises here. This is exactly what this team was. You know, this is a team that was saved. This is a team that originally looked like if they had an average defense, they'd be a Super Bowl team. And they ended up being saved consistently, continually by their defense. You know, I mean, look at the Arizona game. Look at all these big games they played down the stretch against good teams. That's how these games went. Struggles on offense pretty consistently. You know, defense keeps you in it, and turnovers have to be the great, you know, the great equalizer. And you know, they obviously got the one that set them up for that second half touchdown. But it's to me, I would without a doubt look at blowing out the offensive staff. I would even look at blowing out Mike McCarthy. You had 2 months to figure this thing out on offense. You had 2 months. And you have Joe Philbin, who's been a head coach at the NFL level. You have Ben McAdoo, who's an offensive analyst, who's been a head coach at the National Football League level. You've got guys that have been primary play callers at the NFL level. You had 2.5 months to get things figured out on offense, and you didn't. Nothing changed. It was the same inconsistent, bad offense for 2.5 months, and you weren't going to win playoff games with the offense in the way that it was.
So, Ari, in terms of the coaching staff, let's say they don't make the changes themselves. Do you think that they'll have to deal with either Moore or Quinn getting a job? And if so, what does your gut tell you? Which one is it?
Quinn is going to be – Quinn is gone.
Okay.
I have no doubt in my mind that Quinn will get one of these jobs. I think Quinn is going to Denver. Mm. That's what I've been hearing. So I think Quinn's gone. I don't know how you – I don't even know how Kellen Moore's getting interviews at this point. Like, honestly, I don't know how you can watch this team and be like, yeah, that's that offensive play caller, that's what I want as my head coach.
Right. I mean, I'm with you, Ari.
I don't want him as my offensive coordinator anymore.
But apparently he's getting, what, 5 interviews? Is that what I'm hearing? Like as many as 5 teams want to have that talk, right?
You know, it's – and look, I get it from a perspective of smart football mind, smart offensive mind. But, I mean, Chad, we've seen this now 2 consecutive years. And granted, last year was a bit different because of the injuries. But I mean, even go to, you know, 3 years ago or, you know, 2 years ago, whatever it was, that just offense thudded, you know, that at times looked incredibly good. And then at other times, I mean, this is pretty much similar to what we saw in Jason Garrett's final season as the head coach. And everybody was all excited about Kellen Moore. And, I don't know if it's the inability to adjust, whatever it is. Again, you had 2.5 months to figure out what the issues were on offense. It's not just Kellen in those rooms. It's Mike McCarthy. It's Joe Philbin. It's, you know, all these other guys, and many of them have been offensive play callers at the NFL or college level, and nobody for 2.5 months could figure it out, because the same offense or lack thereof that we saw against Denver, against the Raiders, you know, is the same offense to close out the season. And you know, again, I would hold the person most responsible for us, you know, going over the offensive game plan responsible for it. But at the end of the day, maybe I'm being a little bit too harsh on McCarthy, but when he was hired, there were major question marks about Mike McCarthy. And the reason he was hired was because, well, he has the experience and, you know, he's won a Super Bowl. And I don't feel any better about this team based on his coaching staff today than I did the day that he was hired. He hasn't made a difference. And sometimes he's proven to be a liability, but Mike McCarthy hasn't made a difference. You watch, and I hate how much everybody loves Kyle Shanahan, because I think at times it's a little too much. But then you watch them play, and you're like, that coach makes a difference.
Yeah.
Kyle Shanahan makes a difference. Mike McCarthy doesn't make a difference.
No, I would agree with you. Now, the question for me, Ari, is do you think that part of the discussion is now over? Is Stephen Jones going on 105.3 and saying, absolutely, I expect him to be back next year? Is it done? Is it over for you? Or do you think there's still some discussion to be had with Jerry and others behind the scenes?
Look, before the game started, if you had told me that if they lost to the 49ers, that there's a chance that McCarthy would lose his job, I wouldn't believe you. What I heard, though, following the game from folks inside the organization is a bit different. Now, that being said, Stephen Jones loves Mike McCarthy. You know, he thinks he's the right guy. And so I'm sure that there has been and will continue to be ongoing conversations between Jerry and Stephen, which will probably include other Will McClay, other people as well, to sort of go through this. I wouldn't say it's done yet, but I still would be shocked if they fired McCarthy.
Yeah.
You know, it is only 2 years.
Yeah, no, I'm with you too, and I think they like him. I think Steven's not the only one. I've sensed that Jerry likes him too, and we'll see where that one goes. How about this question? Moving forward, Let me just add, Chad.
There's always like the, if Sean Payton were to leave the Saints, like that's been like that for a decade now, right?
So yes.
Like, that's the caveat here. If somebody opened up that they love, I think that's where they would upgrade. In order to upgrade, they're not going through a full coaching search.
Yeah, okay. What would you do about Ezekiel Elliott moving forward, and does the presence or lack of presence of Kellen Moore affect how you would make that decision?
Everything I've seen, you know, it's interesting because it's like you think you know the salary cap intricacies and dead money and what I feel like I remember looking and seeing like they can't get out of Zeke's deal for a couple of years. But then I talked to somebody who said that they could, and so I'm like, I don't know anything, I guess, because it seemed like it was going to be very expensive and cost prohibitive for them to get out of Zeke's deal. The short answer is I'm carrying Zeke on this football team next year. Tony Pollard is really good. I need, like, again, let's go to the coaching. I don't know how we only see Tony Pollard with 4 carries in this game. It's just it's unbelievable how a guy can be at 5.5 to 6 yards a carry on a season and still, like, what does he have to do to get more touches? I don't understand it.
Right.
Now, the Cowboys would shoot back and say, well, they don't trust him in blitz pickup and blitz protection. And, I mean, is that a good enough reason to keep Zeke Elliott on the roster at that price tag, especially if you can get out of it fairly cheap in terms of the dead money? I believe the Cowboys would be eating about $12 million in dead money if they were to cut him. So I don't think they're going to do it, but, you know, I want to see more Tony Pollard. I just don't understand why we can't see more Tony Pollard. And if he still continues to be such a liability blitz pickup, then it might be time to look at another running back.
Yeah, I think that's fair. All right, let's end on a light note. Ari, have you ever seen a punter throw a prettier pass than what Anger did?
It was gorgeous. And I, for the life of me, cannot understand how, and this is the part of the Shanahan thing where it's like, okay, this is where he might be a little bit overrated.
Yeah.
Like, how do you not see, they're down 2 scores in the fourth quarter. Like, I was dumbfounded that they were even lined up to punt. And then it's like, oh, okay, because they're faking it. And then, of course, right, who knows what in the heck they were doing after the fact. But I thought Shanahan kind of kept you this game, too, with, like, so many fourth and ones where it's like, really? You're going to punt here? You're getting, like, 5 yards to carry. Okay,
right.
Sure.
Yeah, that's the other thing, Ari. How do you not run Deebo Samuel to the edge, like, eight more times if you're
yes.
Like, just keep running that play. The Cowboys were not going to stop it.
No. The defense kept him in it. I think at times Kyle Shanahan had kept him in with some of his, you know, just fourth down. It's so weird for a guy to be so smart offensively. And then I guess there's just too much old school Mike Shanahan in him.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And then Jimmy Garoppolo and the throw at 23-10 down, or excuse me, 23-10 up, is one of the silliest throws I've ever seen in my life. That is one of the dumbest throws ever released by a quarterback. I was so happy he did it, but what a bad throw, Ari.
Oh, my God, terrible. And and then you come to the realization that, oh, God, that guy has just outplayed my guy. He's making $40 million a year.
Oh, yeah, exactly, exactly. Not only did that handsome bastard win the game after that stupid throw, I got to hear my 15-year-old daughter tell me how good-looking he is. I should have grounded her for a month. That's what I should have done.
If I were you, I would have turned off the TV and thrown the TV out the window.
Unbelievable. All right, kids, that is Ari Temkin, Cowboys Radio Network. You heard him all season long. Also, check out Big 12 Radio on Sirius XM. He's at Ari Sports on Twitter. Ari, we appreciate you making time for us each and every week during the season. We'll leave you alone for a little while. Thank you, brother. Hope all is well, and we will definitely catch you down the road.
Yes, absolutely. Safe to you and your family, and appreciate you guys very much. Be well.
Take care, sir. Thanks, man. That is Ari Temkin. Good stuff there, covering the Cowboys all season long. Unfortunately, it is now over, and the Niners head to Green Bay. What do you do with that one, Cowboys fans? Trey laid it out for you yesterday. Do you root for the Packers to beat the Niners because they're going for six total, or do you root for the Niners to take out the Packers because the Packers would tie you with five if they get... Oh, God. Or do you just drink and not watch the game? Up next, we'll talk about January 19th and why it matters to us. A couple of big-time musical birthdays today and a food I think we can all agree on. I know T.O. can. Coming up on the Horn.
Shirts and Skins.
I had stayed inside, but when I first got the call, I was so happy to hear her voice. I hope by this call that maybe she'd forgive me. She wanted to meet for lunch, and I couldn't wait to get there. She have to meet at our favorite place, and I was so happy until I saw her face. She said she didn't want to eat, she just wanted to talk. Oh, we hugged and kissed, and I saw
for you from Trey today. That does not sound like the first album. What you got, Trey?
This is North Mississippi All-Stars, Never Want to Be Kissed.
North Mississippi All-Stars. Man, sounds like a lot of experience in that song. Lots and lots of it. New music also today from Parquet Courts, from St. Paul and the Broken Bones, Emily Wolfe with a new track, and apparently there's a T-Rex cover out there from Emily Wolfe. That's just a great idea. And Spoon has new music for you as well. If you're an Austin music fan, that'll matter to you, or may matter to you as well. More new music coming before we get out of here. Trey will get you one more. Also, a reminder, Wednesday night flex tonight at 7. Snoop and the crew covering that high school sports like nobody else. Remember to go to FlexATX, FLXATX.com for your flex gear, for all the coverage, for scoreboards, all of that good stuff. And also check them out if you need a mixtape for your school or that athlete in your life. Flex can help you out. All right, here's where we try to help you out with January 19th and why it matters to us.
Why Today Matters, brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialist. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialist. 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
Yes, indeed. Let's start with the food because it'll make me hungry. National Popcorn Day today. Trey, do you know anybody who absolutely hates popcorn? Never eats it, always refuses. Like, do those people exist?
I don't really eat a ton of popcorn.
A ton is one thing, but do you not eat it at all?
Not really.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd say once every 5 years.
What if you go to
I'll have some at a movie.
Okay, what do you eat at the movies then if you don't eat popcorn?
My movie theater consumption consists of water and peanut M&Ms.
Okay. Well, at least you got somewhat fun there on the second one. I was waiting for like wheatgrass or something.
Yeah, by the way, Alamo Drafthouse, as much as I love you, no, at some point in the last year, they stopped selling candy at the Drafthouse.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you sell candy at a movie theater?
I don't know. That's I think the Drafthouse tried to get too cute with their menu, and they took the candy off the menu.
Or did they just become comfortable with the fact that some people, in fact, a lot of people, just sneak candy in, so they don't even worry about it?
Right.
Is that what they decided? They should put that on the sign. No candy, we know you've got it in your pocket. That's what it should say. Then they're the Drafthouse.
Yep.
That would be good. So it is National Popcorn Day. If you enjoy it, have some fun there. My wife is all about popcorn and regular M&Ms, combining the two. You have to eat it in a certain order. You have to eat it with a certain amount. That is her combo when she's watching a movie.
What's the order?
I believe she goes salty first and then brings the sweetness of the M&M in. So I think she goes a little bit of popcorn, then a little bit of M&Ms. That's the key. She loves doing it.
All right. Well, that sounds good. I like the salty sweet combination.
Yeah, I do too. I go with the popcorns and Skittles combination. That's my go-to there at a movie. So National Popcorn Day, enjoy that. Also, Trey, I'll test your food snobness. Do you know what quark is in the food world? Today is National Quark Day.
Yeah, quark is a dairy product. I think it's similar to sour cream. If I'm not mistaken.
Very good. European superfood, a low-fat alternative to cheese and yogurt.
Oh, okay, so it's got a yogurt quality to it.
Well done. See, I'm a son of a physicist, so I saw National Quark Day, and I thought it was like a nerdy day where they celebrate quarks and physics and all that. No, it's a food thing. All right, so the other thing is birthdays today. You know we love our birthdays. Monster birthdays, Trey, in the world of music. One of these ladies has left us. One of them has not. Janis Joplin would have been 79 years old today. And there still is nobody that's come along since that sings exactly like her.
Janis wasn't going to ever make it to this age.
79?
No
chance. She died in 1970. Let's be very clear. Janis Joplin saw a speck of the 70s, and that was it.
Yeah, if she doesn't die of a drug overdose, she's probably still croaking and somewhere in her 60s at the latest.
There's certain artists I've always thought of as like, man, if they had lived to see disco, it might have killed them. Janis is on that list. Can you imagine Janis Joplin trying to process disco? Like true unabashed disco. Like if she heard the biggest hit of Casey and the Sunshine Band, what would she have done? Would she have somehow liked it? Would she have gotten into it? There's no way Janis actually gets into disco.
No.
But like, what would she have been like in the 70s if she had gotten to live?
Probably Quaaludes.
Man, yeah, you're right. She would have been messed up in the 70s, man. So happy birthday to Janis. Grab some Janis Joplin. Check that out today. Also, it is the 76th birthday, 1 year past the penthouse agreement, for Dolly Parton, 76 years old today.
She is an institution.
She is an institution. And there are parts of her that are only 24. But she is 76 years old. Every time I see Dolly, I'm always asking myself, okay, what is it now, Dolly? What is the next thing? What's the last thing you got done? Because she is upfront as she can be about plastic surgery. Mm-hmm. She'll admit all the things that she's done over the years. So I don't know what, I can't even begin to think. She's kind of like Joan Rivers to me. I don't know what she would be like if she'd never done it, ever. Like if she'd never gone to the plastic surgeon, what would Dolly Parton have looked like? I don't know. I always thought she was really pretty back in the day.
Her I mean, what did the up tops look like before all the surgery?
I don't think Dolly was ever small in that regard. Never as big as they became, but she was a pretty well-endowed woman, I think, in that category. I always thought she had a really pretty face. I never quite understood why plastic surgery on that face was necessary.
Yeah, she did have a pretty face.
I thought she was really good looking.
She's gone way overboard with that now.
It's amazing.
Now, do you have a favorite Dolly Parton song? The only one that I'm even coming up with off the top of my head is the one that, or there's two, the one that Whitney Houston covered for The Bodyguard.
Yep. I Will Always Love You.
And I Will Always Love You. That, and then also 9 to 5.
9 to 5 is a great one. That I Will Always Love You is probably the tip top in terms of most important Dolly songs. That little whispery part in there still gets me emotional every time I hear it. 9 to 5, solid. That's a great pop Dolly. My favorite like pop Dolly song is Why'd You Come In Here Looking Like That. I'm a sucker for that song.
That's a good one.
Dolly Parton singing to a man she thinks is sexy in a pair of jeans. There's something that I'll never forget when it came out.
She flipped the script with that one, too.
She really did. I love that. When Dolly gets, like, almost she's leering at the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I always like that. So that's my kind of favorite Dolly song. But she's got a lot of great ones. Coat of Many Colors is good, and Hard Candy Christmas is great. And then she became a weird interpreter of songs a few years ago, where she just said, you know what, I'm Dolly Parton. I'll cover whatever I want. She covered the famous Collective Soul song. What is that called? Shine? Heaven Let Your Light Shine Down, right?
Wait, she did that song?
She covered that.
Wow.
She covered Stairway to Heaven on a record a few years ago, just because she's Dolly Parton.
Ooh. So
she'll do whatever she wants. And
that might cause me to want to listen to that song one more time, because I never plan on listening to the Led Zeppelin version again.
She has she's done some really weird, cool covers over the years. The stuff with Kenny Rogers is great. I mean, Islands in the Stream, mm-hmm. and some other stuff. So happy birthday to Dolly today. One of those concerts I wish I'd gone to. I hope I still get an opportunity. If Dolly ever goes out again, I would love to see her in concert. Because every time, even these last couple years, I'll hear her do something, hear her on a show or a talk show or whatever, and then the voice is still there.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the face is weird, still getting, you know, still strange looking, and I don't see like emotions sometimes. She's still one of my favorite musicians on the planet. So happy birthday to Dolly. Also, going back to the 80s, Robert Palmer would have had a birthday. He died back in 03, but Addicted to Love and all that stuff. The videos that would get you quickly canceled today.
Yeah, the videos that are just a bunch of hot women with their with their hair slicked back.
Genius.
High heels, showing legs. I mean, just classic 80s videos.
Yep, perfectly genius. Also, we always do, we got one to make us feel young and one to make us feel actually old. The old one is Jody Sweetin, 40 years old today. The middle daughter from Full House.
Boy, I don't know where I would have ranked just how attractive the Bob Saget daughters in Full House would be as adults.
The Tanner girls?
The Tanner girls, thank you. I was having a hard time with the last name there. I don't know if I would have had Jodie Sweetin at the top, but that's where she ended up.
She really did end up attractive. And Cameron Bure, whatever her name is now, she's really attractive too. Yeah. So happy birthday to Jody. And also happy birthday to one of my favorite basketball announcers, Jeff Van Gundy. The former coach and announcer is only 60. I'm excited about that. That doesn't make me feel old.
Jeff, how is he only 60?
He felt 65 the day I first saw him.
I wouldn't have been surprised if you told me that he's Janis Joplin's age.
I don't even care if I did that math wrong. I'm going to say he's 60 years old today. That'll make me feel better. Yeah, you would have thought, right, Joplin. You would have thought in his 70s, right?
How hard a life have the Van Gundy brothers lived? Okay. Jeez.
I'm telling you, the Van Gundys did not mix salads in the 80s and 90s. Right? There's not a lot of, you know, sliced cucumber going on with the Van Gundys.
Or sunlight, apparently.
Or perceivable sunlight. That is absolutely true. All right, that's why January 19th matters to us. Up next, stems and seeds. Before we get out of here, Trey's got a story about UCLA's coach and COVID. Haven't heard it yet. We'll hear it next on The Horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
Great start to a song, too. What do you got, Trey?
This is Swamp Dog, apparently related to Snoop Dogg because the last name is spelled D-O-G-G.
Yeah.
The song is called Soul to Blessed Soul.
This car drives itself. That's the way that song started. That was fantastic. Swamp Dog's got new material for you. We had the North Mississippi All-Stars, Parquet Court, Saint Paul and the Broken Bones, Emily Wolf and Spoon got us started today. Lots of good new music out there for you. If you like, unfortunately, the Grammys will be a little different in 2022, but hopefully the Super Bowl will get to stay in L.A. Maybe keep an eye, even if you're not a fan, keep an eye on UFC 270 this weekend in Anaheim. They've altered their protocols a little bit. They're going to change the way they test asymptomatic fighters and corner people and all that.
As in they're not testing asymptomatic fighters and corner people?
They are either not testing them anymore or testing them a lot less or changing how they test that. Dana White has been in kind of involved in the forefront of a lot of this sports stuff. So I'm going to keep my eye on that just in terms of if they can get through this thing pretty well with the UFC, maybe that gives us an indicator on LA for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and as a country, we're starting to see a downturn in Omicron cases. We have either peaked or we're about to peak here in Austin and in Texas, and California is going through the same thing right now. Fortunately for the UFC, and this is going to be a difference between them and the Super Bowl, is that Orange County has tried and forced much less in the way of draconian measures on its population than Los Angeles County has.
Gotcha.
So they're already working with a little bit of an advantage there versus LA County.
Sounds like Dana knew where to go for UFC 270. He's been following closely. All right, let's get you some stems and seeds here. I want to hear this UCLA story. Let's go.
No stress, no seeds, no stems, no sticks.
Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. Trey, something happened between UCLA's basketball coach and some protocols?
Okay, so speaking of Los Angeles County,
yeah,
that is where UCLA is located. Well, UCLA head basketball coach Mick Cronin sounded off yesterday about his school's COVID policies with an indirect jab about a road game that they're about to be playing. So UCLA is among three schools in the Pac-12 that have self-imposed restrictions regarding fan attendance at athletic events.
Oh, yeah. I saw Pauly the other night, and it was empty.
The Bruins, along with USC and Stanford, are limiting fan attendance at sporting events to really just family members, and that's it. So is empty arenas that they're playing in.
Yep.
Well, Cronin has been UCLA's men's basketball coach since 2019, and he wants to know why the Los Angeles Rams could have 80,000 fans in attendance for their playoff game on Monday night, while UCLA won't allow any in the stadium. Both play in the same city, obviously, and their venues are literally 13 miles apart.
Fair question.
And so he was talking about going and playing at Utah on Thursday. Quote, "I think what will help us is to run out of a tunnel and play in front of fans. I think it's hugely demoralizing to our guys to play games in empty arenas when there's 80,000 people at the Rams game yesterday." And he's making a great point there.
Yeah.
It's time for UCLA to wise up way too many of these institutions of higher learning are handling this about as poorly as anybody right now, especially when you consider many of them have vaccine and or booster mandates already in place. And this is with a population of people that aren't typically adversely affected by catching COVID. So not only are they low risk to begin with, but they also have taken those extra necessary steps.
Now, Trey, just to be devil's advocate, is there a chance they're just trying to keep people away from Bill Walton when he's doing the broadcast? Because that might be in the interest of public health.
Perhaps.
Maybe. Just maybe. Because I'm trying to stay away from him. He's still driving me nuts. Too distracting.
Yeah.
Just way too distracting.
But if you're UCLA, you love Walton because he glosses on you to no end.
That is true. All right, we'll keep an eye on that story too. Rod and Kevin coming right up, and Wednesday Night Flex at 7. Enjoy your Wednesday. Cheers.